just before we go for dessert, there's one other thing I wanted to share, and oh, it's not too bad. Okay. But I'll let Steve share, but one of the things that Steve Grissom, who has spent years working by our side and here on staff, and one of the things that's been a passion of his is the financing of God's kingdom. He comes from handling money, handling business, and he began to, he was always kind of on my case. And Leon, we need to talk to people about wills and estates. He said, we need to make sure that the Christian world understands that you will leave more at your death than you will ever in your giving. And he said, if things aren't in order in these areas, he said that the government's going to, you're going to have a heyday in this area. And as we talked, I said, okay, yeah, we need to begin to share some stuff. You know, for example, one of the things that's really interesting is that if you've got three kids and you're leaving them your entire estate, and you say, well, you know, I want to leave it to my kids. Did you know that a part's going to go to the government either way? But if you make your church the fourth kid, the money doesn't even go down. It just goes into the church rather than the government. And there's many other things that can be done, that everything you've worked for all your life can look after your family. And at the same time, you can be an astounding blessing. You can leave a legacy for what's ahead of you that way. So I don't want to steal any more of his thunder, but Steve, would you just come for a few minutes and just share kind of what we're looking at, what we're thinking about, and just kind of unpack it better than me. Okay. There's the mic there.
Sting. Hello. Oh, works good. We're just in honor of some of Leon's comments. I wore my fancy socks today. That's all I want to do in supporting the government. But Leon asked me just to, a lot of you I know, some of you know my story, many of you don't. I was working at Springs for 12 years prior to that. I started off a career in the investment business. I was an investment advisor for 7 years, had a lot of success, but that was prior to being a Christian. So a lot of that success went all the wrong directions, cost me at that point my marriage and pretty well everything I valued in my life. And it was after the lows of that, I became a Christian and found Springs Church and was able to sell my wife on maybe there was a second chance here. And was able to salvage our marriage through the church, through what Springs has done for me. One of the things I told myself was I was going to come up here and say, hey, my name is Steve. I'm an addict. I'm addicted to Springs. it has done so much for my life. You have done so much for my life. So many of you have inspired me and helped me become a better person that it means a lot to me, Springs does, and to know that Springs is going to be here afterwards. Some of you may not have known in moving out to Calgary, my wife and I moved out and helped out the Miracle Channel turn around and moved to Calgary at that time. And just about exactly 4 years ago, I passed out at work one day. And thank God, I know Pastor Leon, and he's phoning the doctors and phoning Susie and saying, you know what, have the doctors check his heart. He also told me, he told the doctors to give me a double enema because I'm really full of it. But that was a different part of the conversation. but it was because of his wisdom and the connections that we did and found out I had a heart problem. And I was able to, by God's grace and favor, you know, I needed to retire at that time, so I stopped working, got a heart operation, took a year off, and recuperated, and then decided, okay, because of our good planning and God's grace, we were financially set so we could retire. But you've got to have a purpose. And so I've been flinging ideas at Leon for a few years now. But a part of it is I've also been looking at, well, like one of my heart's desires, I used to teach the finance course, and thank God you picked up the Dave Ramsey course because it was so much better. But one of the things that always been in my heart's desire was to give the $1 million. I wanted to be a kingdom millionaire. I wanted to be the one at Springs that gave the first $1 million check. And that was really my heart's desire. And for a while after retiring, I was trying to figure out, how do I do this? What businesses do I start? I wrote a lot of business plans for a lot of friends and got offered a number of jobs, but nothing was really right. And it's just through the messages and things and hearing, you know, Pastor Leon say that, hey, if I give you a hammer, you probably know what I'm going to be asking to do at my place. Well, I thought back and God had, for some reason, God had put it on my heart when I first started to work at Springs to join the Canadian Association of Gift Planners. And I went to their annual conference, went to all their monthly meetings, and really researched and studied, thinking at some point that's going to help the people at Springs. And nothing really happened with it. Then when I was working at the Miracle Channel, we'd go to conferences, and they would talk about, went to a lot of seminars that talked about the same type of thing. And then last year, my mother-in-law had a fall in Winnipeg. We came back out to Winnipeg and helped her move into assisted living. And during that time, we had that awkward conversation because she's now 95 years old, moving out of an apartment for the first time and getting some help. And we had the conversation, you know, are your affairs in order? You know, is everything being looked after in your will? And so he went through it with my wife and found out none of her wishes were in her will. That in the meantime, you know, one of her kids had passed away. And so she had had the will written so many years ago. It was kind of the standard, you know, we'll divide whatever I have left amongst my living children. Well, in the meantime, she had a son that died, who was married, who had kids and grandkids. So she was a great-grandmother. So none of her estate was going to go to that part of the family because that's the way her will was written. And the more research I've done, 56% of adults pass away without wills. And if you've got infant children, I'm not going to share some of the stories here, but that should really scare the hell out of you, because if the two of you happen to pass away in an accident, your wishes really don't mean much. Anybody in your family can contest your will. I have a number of brothers and sisters. One brother happens to be gay. And when our daughter was a minor, if we had passed away without a will, if he would have in any way contested the will and wanted to take over the raising of our daughter, in today's society, he probably would have been the favorite child because he's in a stable relationship, has got oodles of money, doesn't have any kids, and could easily look after her. But is that the lifestyle we wanted our daughter raised in? You know, so first of all, a will is extremely important to make sure that your wishes are fulfilled. But then when you go into the estate part, planning part, and there's a few people here I know that are somewhat involved in that, it's huge. Like Leon had mentioned that really Mr. Fancy Socks is going to be your largest beneficiary if you don't do any financial planning. And where, in fact, if you're anything like me and knowing that you're kingdom builders and you're here and this is a priority for you, you want to know that Springs is going to be around when your kids and your grandkids are going to be around. You want to know that the impact that is being made is going to be multiplied. And to just learn some things, one of my favorite verses is the plans of the diligent lead to prosperity. The plans, the plan you have for your marriage, the plan you have raising your kids, the plan to manage your family budget to be able to retire at some point or refire and repurpose. Those plans, and it's the same thing for planning, you know, for your legacy. You know, we've unfortunately gone to a number of friends' funerals lately. And I had a 50-year-old brother-in-law in Phoenix that passed away last year and went to my nephew's wedding this winter. And it was pretty difficult for him and his sister to be there, knowing his sister's never going to have the dad walking down the aisle. And he pretty well left the family destitute. And it didn't need to have to happen that way. And I've just seen this happen too many times that I just think that we want to be able to share some information with you that's going to help you out. At the very least, you know, just by studies out there, half of you here don't have a will. And if you did create it, it was probably 2 weeks before you went on a major holiday. Because you were thinking, well, what happens if the plane crashes? What's going to happen with the kids? That's when most wills are. And then the sad fact is they're never touched again. And so what you were planning, you know, our daughter is married to a great, I got the greatest son-in-law in the world, but he was married before. And he's got kids from that marriage. And the will that we put together when our daughter was a minor does not apply today. Because we want those kids to be looked after. Those are our grandkids. Even though, you know, didn't happen the way we had planned, they're still our grandkids. And then what's going to happen, you know, with a new set of grandkids? So there's a lot of things to be thought through, and we'd really like to help you with that. So Pastor Leon has suggested that we have a follow-up Kingdom Builders meeting that is basically just going to take you through, here are the basics, and we'll create a bunch of handouts. Here are the questions you need to have to create a good and accurate will. You know, and then have a session that's also on, okay, we'll introduce to you some of the things with estate planning and show you the government's got a whole bunch of great benefits and opportunities you can take advantage of. But if you don't have a plan and you're not diligent, you'll be the second part of the verse that says, as surely haste leads to poverty. You want to be the first part. You want to have the plans of the diligent and be able to put it in place. So we just want to share those with you. And I've made myself available, and I've mentioned that to Leon. I've come to the realization I may not be able to write the $1 million check, but if there's anything I can do to help other people do that, then for me it's a win. It doesn't matter to me whether it came from me or I helped somebody else. You know what? This $300,000 didn't go to the government, went to the Springs. We still were biblical. We looked after our children, our children's children. We blessed them enormously. And set them up for, you know, great success in the future. But we also made sure the thing that we laid our life down for, our church, is going to be here for generations. So that's what we want to do. Sherry is working through the details, but I believe a Thursday night on June 21st, we're going to have a dinner and present a bunch of information, give you some handouts. And like I said, I'm going to make myself available to sit down with any couple at any time. Well, not necessarily any time, but at a convenient time to go through and share some of the principles. We are not financial advisors. We're not certified. We're not going to give you financial advice. You need to take this to your financial advisors. I know of very, very few. Most, not all, there's some great ones, and I know a few of them, and they might even be in this room, but most financial advisors, their incentive systems do not allow them to help you plan for your best financial future for you and your family. They're rewarded on keeping your money, not planning and helping you, or they're entirely rewarded on selling you insurance, regardless if that's the right answer or not. And so we want to be able to give you some unbiased information to take to your advisors and say, okay, does this make sense? Does this work out for me? And then now help me put it in place. So that's so what we want to do.
A couple questions, Steve. So one of the things that we had talked about was that we're not a financial planner, but there's some things in the information that you would talk with me about that I think it's not information that they'll actually share even sometimes, because it's just like, who would think about that I could actually do this much for my church, the cause of Christ? And so what you're going to share at this, as we get together, is a whole look, so that when you do meet with your financial planner, and there's some things you really do know. And I was stunned at how. And luckily, we've got some great men in here who are financial planners I've spoken to as well that say, man, can you do some incredible things with your life and prepare for it now. And so the date that we've picked, we're literally going to sit down. There'll be Q&A. There'll be answers. We'll be fleshing out some stuff that has been prepared for a long time by some of the nation's best. at helping us. And so if you can make it, we'd love to have you there. I think the information for you and for your grandparents, your parents, will be amazing. And I also believe that I like the word legacy. You know, everybody here is like you. They're going, you know, for years we talk about who's going to give the most. I'm going to make it to the top first of giving. What a beautiful thing. You know, everyone else is about getting, and I want to give more than any. If I'm going to compete, I'm going to compete at number one giving. And I think that's the passion that's here. And we can help them with some things even in that area that will not hurt your family, right?
Oh, absolutely. You've got to do it. You've got to look after your family. This isn't or. This is and.
It's and.
This is, you know, how do you do both? And it's okay if we don't totally finance the government and its misuse of our money already. You know, we pay taxes when we make the money. We pay taxes when we spend the money. We pay taxes so many times on the money that we make. We're going to spend money. When we pass away, that the money is going to get everything. Every chance they do, they get the money from us. Why not legally, in the way they've set up the systems, use it to our advantage?
Yeah. So this meeting, we'll get a chance to he'll get a chance to share some information, and he's making himself available to get together if you want to talk about stuff. So when you do talk to your financial planner, there's some things in place. And good, great job. I think that's good. Thank you, Steve. You did good. Well, so the date we have is what, Sherry? What's the date we have on that one? June 21st. And
Thursday evening,
and there's never a good time. Say, well, it's June. Yeah, well, it's going to be, then it's July, then it's September, then it's Christmas. But grab some time, and it's going to be unpacked a little bit. So while you're eating, we'll just get into some stuff, share some stuff so that you're very well informed in that way. Not as a financial planner, but stuff that is specifically focused on some areas that I think can be a benefit to what you care about, your church, and your family, and we'll do it. So we got dessert and stuff ready now, right? So, is it me or is it getting hot in here? Let's open the doors, get some air flowing. Let's have dessert and coffee and hang out. The night is still young yet, and tomorrow's a holiday for everybody. I just announced it.